No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Keith. And even Dennis. We got a full crew for Just Plane Radio this week, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, so last week we had a little story, we talked about this gift that a Just Plane Radio listener sent me, to inspire me to get my flight instruction. Ed, you know, Keith saw this last week. Ed is seeing the book for the first time.
I think it's above your reading level.
Well, I haven't read it.
So as I said, I think it's above your reading level.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the movie, or at least the audiobook, which would make it easier for me to absorb the information.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, this is about a 20-page book that features me as an airplane, and that's all I know. I mean, I look pretty awesome as an airplane, I got to say.
Well, I think they got the teeth right.
You think because they're straight?
No, because they're a little crooked. And
what?
I got one up front's a little bigger than the other.
I'm not English. Anyway, whatever it takes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I said it looks like a cow staring at a new gate.
Looking like a cow staring at a gate, doesn't
it? Yeah, I think you're right.
It's a country boy as well, so he
they'll stand there and stare for hours.
Yeah, but I don't look like a cow.
No, but you stand and stare for hours.
All right, moving on. This isn't helping me. I need to find some other avenue to inspire me or to help me get through my flight instruction. And maybe Dylan can help me out. He is on Just Plane Radio right now. Dylan, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think I have just what you need.
Okay. Does it include or involve children's books where they incorporate your real name into the book?
I mean, it might be a little bit over your reading level. It's more aimed for high schoolers.
Okay. I like this guy.
All right.
Well, see, I know how to find guests, don't I?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, okay. Let's step back and explain exactly what Dylan does, because you've created or you're working on a high school aviation program that you can go to in high school and then apply that to your flight training or something, or what, Dylan?
Okay. So I was approached by a gentleman that wanted to help out a high school locally put together an aviation program. And I kind of helped him run with it and get him involved with AOPA and get involved with their new high school aviation curriculum. And after that, we kind of just ran with it. And now it seems like these students will either have the choice to be able to take just a high school aviation program for just, you know, extracurricular activities, or they will have the option to potentially get to use some of that for college credits and build towards a bachelor's degree.
Nice.
Very good.
I like the sound of this.
Get them early.
But I'm too old for it, I'm guessing. It's only for high school kids, like an elective kind of thing, or what?
So I don't know if you're familiar, but AOPA basically teamed up with Purdue University, and they developed a high school aviation curriculum that is completely free for any high school that wants it. And you sign up, you submit the necessary stuff, and they approve you, and you get to use it. So that's what we did with Bethany, and they got selected. And so this coming August, one of their staff will be starting to introduce this kind of pilot training curriculum to them. It's not required that they do any kind of flying, but it's just that they'll kind of learn about aviation, do some ground school. But we're going to couple it with also some flying. And like the flight school that I help run, we do airplane, helicopter, and auto gyro. So the students will get to take their pick.
Cool.
And they'd probably do like some sim work and stuff like that, possibly, maybe, I'm guessing, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we have two Redbird simulators, one FMX full motion AATD, or Advanced Aviation Training Device, and then we also have it's called the Redbird X-Wind. It's a crosswind trainer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are good for teaching people crosswind technique. Greg, you could use some time in one.
Well, do you have one?
No, I don't. Wow. I want one.
Do you have
come visit?
Yeah.
Where are you guys at?
Yeah, where is this happening right now? Well, you said Bethany, right?
So the school is called Bethany Academy. It's actually in Bloomington, Minnesota. It's a suburb of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's how Dennis knows you.
Right.
That's right.
Yep. Well, do you have your daughter going through this stuff, Dennis, or no?
No, she's at the local high school here in Shakopee.
I gotcha. Okay. But, you know, if they go through the program, Dylan, then, I mean, the idea is to kind of inspire high school kids to maybe look at aviation as a potential career path. I assume.
Exactly. Yes. So originally, whenever we first start this, it's going to be aimed for pilots. But AOP actually has three different choices of curriculum. One is for pilots, one is for engineering, and the other one is for drones. So hopefully we can grow this and be able to offer all three.
You got
and then,
Greg's attention when you said drone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I bet you got most of the high school kids' attention, too. I can connect with the kids this way because I'm very much on that whole drone wavelength. I got the latest Muse, release. It's called Drones, Ed. Just, you know, for an old fogey like you, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But the kids can relate to me.
I'm going to ask your kids that.
Yeah, and they'll admit it. They'll admit it.
They'll sell the exact opposite. I guarantee
Yeah, moving
you.
On.
Huh?
Who?
Who's
all right, so you got these different things, but basically, once again, the program is set to inspire them to get into some aspect of aviation ultimately relieve some of the pressure to get more pilots maybe in the pipeline for the commercial airlines, I'm guessing, the shortage that we see in the future. Am I right?
Exactly. So, this is going to be starting off with high schoolers, but the school like Bethany would like to eventually, you know, start introducing it as early as elementary school.
That's
and
a good
then,
idea.
You know, work their way up.
Well, I got
and
a book for them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But, so Bethany actually was the first school that was interested, and they're going to be the one that's involved with AOPA. But there's actually, ever since I started this, there was this kind of a coalition of schools, and it seems like there might be another 79 schools that are interested in putting together such a program. So, you know, Minneapolis might turn into quite the mecca for meeting that demand for pilots.
Yeah, well, you know, we were talking to the lady who at AOPA that works with, probably works with you on this, because she gave that presentation at Sun and Fun. Remember, Ed?
Yeah, Katie Pribble.
Katie,
yeah. And it is being received extremely well, mm-hmm. which is very encouraging to see. But how did you get roped into this, Dylan? Why did they come to you, or did you go to them, or what?
So I work for a flight school here in Minneapolis, and just I got brought in to kind of revamp it and restructure it. It's already a 141 VA approved flight school, and so been trying to target more and bring in some additional students. And one of our guys that flies with us, he his children go to this school, and he's been talking with some of the administrators at Bethany, and they were interested. So he kind of came in here and just started, you know, talking about it. And I was like, hey, you know, like, I'd love to help out with that. I actually went to school myself to be an educator. So, you know, I love stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just teamed up and started kind of spearheading it and talking to the school. And yeah, in about a month's time, we were able to put this all together, and some of the administrators are going to be going to some training at the end of the month to, you know, be caught up and know how to administer this.
That is awesome. That is good stuff.
Yeah, and then it kind of worked out, too. We're also, our school is in the process of becoming a flight training affiliate of Liberty University, and I don't know if you know much about them.
Oh, yeah.
But one thing that they have that's fantastic is they offer their classes to high school students.
Mm-hmm. And get college credit.
Yes, and they actually give 75% off to the high school students. Oh. So it makes it a lot more affordable. Oh. And the program lasts, you know, if you go full time, it could be as little as 2.5 years and you have a bachelor's degree. So if these students started in high school, they could potentially graduate from high school. And then a year later, if they want to, you know, really go at it, be able to walk away with a bachelor's degree in aviation.
That is really, really something. And you're looking to maybe take the program down to the elementary level. At what point will you reach people like me that are just trying to find a way? Or is there any hope? What do you think? You have any prediction in that regard, Dylan?
I mean, I haven't seen you try to fly yet, but I mean, there are people that are just lost causes. So,
well, no, just special needs. I need it. Okay.
He's riding the short bus to flight school.
Oh, quit it! Yeah, I am not riding any short bus. It's a plane. We're going to ride a plane. I'm going to fly a plane eventually.
That's part of the problem. He hasn't been able to get on the short bus yet.
Oh, just stop it. I got a book. I just got to read it or wait for the audio book. Well, Dylan, I digress. I think you're doing great work. You keep it up. If people want more information, where can they go?
They can reach out to me. I work for Hummingbird Aviation. You can reach me at 952-944-2628.
There you go. Or you can check it out on aopa.org. There's a way to reach out to folks there as well. All right, we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne. For pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Ed and Keith. Dennis, a full crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so big news over the last week or two, and we got to talk about this because it's just what we do. We have a drone story, and we have a head story. I don't know. What's the lavatory? Story. Lavatory would be the proper term. To cover. I can't believe we didn't talk about this last week, but we have to talk about this. What would you want, the drones or the lavatory story first, Ed?
Well, they both rate about the same.
They're both a bunch of crap, is what you're saying?
I didn't say it. You did.
Okay. Well, then let's start with the lavatory story. American Airlines, who, by the way, I have the most points with at the moment. I'm going to have to... I don't know, consider something for my flights with them. because they announced
a diaper.
Yes, I
depends.
Am. Maybe that might be the solution, but they're shrinking their lavatories. So, what was the size plane again, Dennis?
It's on the 737 Maxes and their 737-800s. They're going through a big interior refresh on those, and all of the new 737s are being delivered with this new restroom. And from what I was reading, I don't think I want to use it. I mean, you could put one hand in the sink at a time, and you have to make a decision whether you want to go in forward or backward because you can't really turn around once you're inside with the door closed.
Yeah, 24 inches. That's 12 inches per butt cheek. That's not a lot of inches. You hear what I'm saying? When you know, I may work in Asia or somewhere everybody's smaller or something, but here in America, we need more space.
That's for sure.
That's why I don't fly the airline.
Well, you could look at it that way.
As little as possible.
Another incentive to fly general aviation.
Everybody says the Mooney's got a small cockpit, but at least I don't have to deal with figuring out which direction I need to use the restroom in.
No, because you can't.
That's right.
You don't have one.
You don't have one. Well, you have the little John. So, you know, if you
Don't talk about Dennis's personal issues.
Hey!
Hey!
So, you know, you either, you can get one of those little Johns for your general aviation plane. And you're good to go.
There's
literally,
one on American Airlines too.
Yeah, yeah. They may. You know, that might be a better solution. Is just to hand out those to everybody. You know.
There you go.
Yeah, you can eliminate the bathroom altogether.
And get a blanket.
He said
so
eliminate.
They can cover it up.
Yeah, we got to be careful. We're walking a very fine line when you talk about this.
Yes,
stuff.
You are.
So, but regardless, I don't think this is a good move. I mean, they're getting some heat. They're getting a lot of crap for this one already.
But it won't stick.
What do you mean?
Because people will yell and scream and holler, and they're going to do it anyway.
Well, true. Yeah, there's no... There's
they've
really
already...
No, they've done it. Yeah. They've already started building them like that, right? And I guess the idea, the reason they're making them smaller is so they can get more seats in the plane and make it more profitable. And it was like 10 seats. I'm like, wait a minute. By making the bathrooms that much smaller, you're getting 10 more seats on the airplane?
The CEO of American Airlines said, we will never lose money again.
Really?
Yeah.
So if that's one way to do it. So their new slogan is, American Airlines, just hold it.
We're not happy till you're not happy.
Well, that's a bummer. I don't really like this. I mean, look, you know, hopefully they'll be, usable, I assume, but for them chunkier Americans, I think is going to be a huge problem. And one of the things they did say, they said they're so small that there really isn't enough room in the bathroom for you to turn around. So you have to make up your mind before you go in the lavatory what you're going to do. You hear what I'm saying?
There's like not it's enough room in there for me to turn around as it is.
Yeah, that sounds like the stalls at our office.
Yeah.
Oh, you've already incorporated that.
Yeah, we already have them that size.
So, well, that's just good flight training. You're preparing your students for a career.
Or their future career,
In commercial aviation.
Yep.
Yeah. So you think this is a trend. It ain't going to get any better. Bathrooms are just going to get smaller and smaller.
Well, overseas, they tried once to have to have you pay to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought, isn't there still an airline doing that?
No.
They quit doing that?
I think Ryanair tried it once.
Yeah. They said, no, you can't do that.
Tokens or something like that. They're not pay to play.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, it's not a... I don't think that's a good trend. I don't... I just hope... Smaller lavatories don't catch on, like, you know, baggage fees and things like that. But you both of you believe, Ed and Keith, believe this is the future, whether we like it or not?
Yeah.
They're just going to make them smaller? Or, I don't know.
So they legally have them on board, but if you can't fit in them, you stay in your seat.
I would like to see if they get any discrimination lawsuits.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
What, against bigger folk?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're discriminating me because, you know, I can't get in this restroom.
Yeah. Well, it could happen. I don't know. Or once again.
How wide is the seat in the airplane?
It depends on what airline.
True.
Well, what's the average? Isn't it about 15, 16 inches or something like that?
No, it's like 21 inches.
Okay.
So we're talking it's only a few inches wider than the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Which, yeah, you know, they're taking that into consideration. So, I mean, 24 no,
they're inches.
Really,
they're really not. Not the seat you're talking about.
Well, that's true. I mean, is that a business class lavatory or is that a coach class lavatory? You hear what I'm saying?
Well, there's a lot of people that, I mean, like Southwest Airlines, they make them buy two seats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if you're too heavy?
Right.
If you're above that 12 inches per cheek thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how do they measure that, by the way? Do you know?
I don't know what their
criteria is. It weight or is it circumference?
I think it's kind of like, you know, they have the little boxes to put your bag in, see if it's wide enough.
Yeah, no,
if you can
that.
Fit your butt cheeks in there, you're good to go. Wow.
I think there would be some lawsuits if they did something like that.
I'd just like watching that screening process. That would be hours of entertainment.
But I think there are some people that just prefer it that way too, though. You know, if they're that big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the what's worse? I mean, you feel for that heavier person. I do. But you really feel for the person that gets stuck next to them.
And
you just pray to God, oh, please, please keep walking. Please keep walking.
Not the middle seat.
Yeah. Who hasn't been there? Come on. Have you been there?
I've been there.
You've been there. Ed's been there.
Yep.
Dennis, yes.
Yep.
I was going to say, anybody who says no, it's, you know, they're looking at you. You're the problem. And I've been there, too. So, you know, despite our slightly plumpness here with the Just Plain Radio crew, we still side within the parameters of a single seat. Thank God. At least for now. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed, Dennis, and Keith. Full crew here as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. And then a bunch of stuff about drones that we just like to throw in for fun.
We just like to drone about.
Yeah, well, they keep coming up with unique things you can do with drones that are a little bit more practical, you know, like delivering pizzas, things like that. But here's one that I don't think I would have ever thought of in a million years. And the guy who thought of it was like, gosh, this is a pretty interesting idea.
What is it?
Hands-free umbrella.
Hands-free umbrella. Okay. That piques my interest.
Yeah.
You know, instead of the selfie cam that follows you around as you're doing your water skiing or snowboarding or whatever, now you got an umbrella that follows you in the rainstorm so you can keep your hands free to open your car door and carry your bags in and out.
How about that?
Okay. So when the rain is coming at an angle,
yeah,
does it reposition itself
of to course.
Keep you dry?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure about that.
No.
It's just a big enough umbrella, does it matter?
Okay, when it's raining sideways like it does in Florida in some afternoons, it does make a difference.
Well, I would imagine, actually.
And is there a wind limit?
You know, it's like a quadcopter type of device. So it's going to have to adjust for wind direction anyway, so it's probably going to adjust the umbrella accordingly.
Yeah, but 50-knot gusts?
Well, you know, what's going to be great is when it actually flips over and goes backwards in a big gust like that.
Yeah.
That will look awesome.
Oh, it will.
but actually, I mean, who knows? This is a interesting use of drones that actually could work. This could be an interesting thing of people following. I mean, we're going to have, like, you know, these drones. They already got them following people around to just videotape them.
Yeah.
So why not make them umbrellas as well?
I tried that once, and they didn't like it.
What, they didn't like the umbrella?
No, drone? They didn't like me following them with the drone videotaping.
Who
them.
Didn't like that? You didn't like that?
No, the people that I was following
with the drone.
Oh, they didn't like that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you forget the young generation that wants their entire life documented, you know, for selfies and stuff.
Yeah, true.
Got to update your Facebook status and stay dry.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was flying. Of course I was flying.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Keith from Flight Training Professionals, FTPros.com. Check them out. And then we got Captain Dennis rounding out the crew as well. I don't know. Are you going to get one of these umbrella drones? You think, Dennis, is that one of your things?
Nah, probably not. I need something that can handle the snow. maybe a drone snowblower to keep the hangar clear or something like that.
Put a heater on it.
There you go. Yeah, you could have, it could be an umbrella.
And then I wouldn't have to move to Florida. The heater could just follow me around and keep me warm.
There you go.
How about a drone that follows you that puts out the heat of the sun?
Oh, maybe a little bit less than that.
A little bit less.
You can work on your tan, you know.
Keep it about 80 would be nice.
Exactly. You can create your own little environment just above you. It's like a giant storm cloud that usually follows me around.
The 80-80-80 bubble, right?
Yeah, you get
80-foot circle, 80 degrees.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the technology is interesting. Well, only time will tell what happens here. But
I'll take one if you buy it for me, Greg.
Well, I don't think they're making them yet.
Keith,
you can put down a deposit. But some of the other aspects of these drones is just making them bigger so they can fly us around. And they think that'll be the Uber Air taxi type of approach that eventually comes, whether it's in the next 5 years or next 20. We don't know. There's actually a developer down in Miami is already planning for flying cars as part of their skyscraper development. So they're already like putting this in the plans for some of this building. That they figure there's going to be these flying quadcopter cars, so they're creating a sky building. You know, just like from the Jetsons.
Just the Jetsons, yeah.
So the planners, the city planners, or developers are already kind of looking at this as this is the wave of the future. So they're planning accordingly. Now, what those vehicles look like is anybody's guess. But one of the latest releases out there is, it looks like what, Dennis? How would you describe this thing, this vehicle?
A combination of a quadcopter and a float plane.
And a float plane.
Yeah, the folks, the Kitty Hawk folks, they called it an ATV prototype last year. This is Larry Page of Google's backing this company, and their goal was to sell a self-flying car by the end of 2017. They didn't make that, but what they have coming out now looks a whole lot cooler. You know, it's kind of like two jet skis underneath a quadcopter, and it's a single person combination drone airplane, little personal aircraft you can go scooting off the water with.
Does that thing have 8 blades on it? Is that what I see?
10.
10 blades. A 10-blade quadcopter, and it has a little pod, and you sit in that, but it's only for one person. But you don't have to. You won't have to fly it. You'll just like put in your coordinates on your cell phone. And either the flight will go through or it'll disconnect and you'll plunge to your death.
I'm thinking for you and I, this
lost
could be
the signal.
Really kind of fun.
Oh, we lost another one. Oh, well.
You know, fly out to the dive boat or go fly out over the reef, look and see if you can see the lobsters walking, and then just go sit down and roll out and go diving.
Yeah, right now, only over water. So I guess in that sense, if it floats and you lose power, maybe you'll still be okay. Maybe we'll throw a parachute in there just for safekeeping, you think? Or, I mean, when you get out over water, if you're
all that stuff you're talking about adds weight, which just makes it a harder equation. You got to keep the weight down so it can carry you.
Well,
just have a fleet of small drones with little inflatable airbags.
There you go.
Okay.
Got Greg on board.
Having a hard airbag.
What are you saying?
Afloat.
I'm on board. It doesn't matter. Or what are you saying?
Airbags.
No.
Oh. I'd be the hot air necessary to blow them up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Well, you know, the thing is, though, if it's over water, let's assume this is happening in Florida, and if it's off the coast, like in the ocean, which would be the most practical use for something like that, you'd be flying up and down the coast and stuff. The cell signal sucks as soon as you get offshore. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This could be a bad thing if, you know, it's...
But your cell phone only needs to connect locally with Bluetooth or something like that to the onboard computer.
It's still, it still has to get connected to a tower to know what the navigation's going to be. It has to, you know, communicate and download the maps and stuff. So otherwise, you get out... Satellite?
Yeah, satellite.
Well, okay, yeah. Maybe. But that's way more expensive. I mean... Yeah,
SiriusXM isn't too terrible.
Well, maybe. Maybe
ADS-B.
I'm just saying, if they lose their cell signal, they could be off to Cuba and they wouldn't even know.
That's legal now.
Well, that's okay. They may, that might be a nice little visit, sure. But, you know, the future will tell us, I guess, or show us what is, what's possible. But it's kind of cool. I like this stuff. I think, you know, the flying cars, the Jetsons, it is coming. And it's just a matter of how long is it going to take. I think it is in the foreseeable future, whereas 20 years ago, it was like, everybody gave up. Wouldn't you agree? What mm-hmm. do you think, Ed?
Yeah.
But now, it's happening. It's just a matter of, is it going to be 5 years? Is it going to be 15, 20? What do you think? You still are you thinking more longer as opposed to shorter? Because I think it could happen quicker.
Well, I just with the regulatory side of it, that's what I think would slow it down. More than anything.
Yeah. Well, that is possible.
However, you got to think that with the age of a lot of the inspectors, they got to be getting a new generation in there sooner or later.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But you're right.
Well, the kids...
They're all retiring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the kids coming up, they know how to do all this stuff. You know, so I don't know. We'll see. I you know, it's
they are still bound by government bureaucracy.
They are, so. Indeed. Yeah, and there's some bonehead decisions that still manage to show up. Have you guys been watching?
They try to avoid decisions.
Well, have you seen the news the last couple weeks about this, about the ATC controllers?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so evidently, now I'm just going from what I saw on
I think I
Fox News.
This. Yeah.
Tucker Carlson has been reporting about this story about how they've been trying to diversify.
Yeah, I saw that earlier today, I think.
The controllers, yeah. So, and they said they've changed the priorities of who they hire.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody with a pilot's license actually has less priority to get the job than somebody who's been out of work for three years.
Hmm.
And so, it's all under the eyes of, trying to make the workforce more diverse when they hire air traffic controllers, which, you know, okay,
so
that's a noble cause.
So what you're saying is the guy that was on the corner of 436 and Colonial,
yeah,
panhandling, might be in the executive tower here next week?
It's very possible. It could
aren't
have.
They there now?
Well, I'm sure I've seen a few of them out there, too. It is government pay, after all.
I think, obviously, they were thinking, hey, let's put more people back to work, and, these might be government jobs. It might be good for these folks and stuff, but I think...
And they harass us about safety.
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly. You know, it's an FAA program that seems to have gone haywire, because, you know, it's one thing to make, you know, you want to bring more people in, sure, but you don't want to penalize the people that actually would be better candidates for this. Like, if you had a pilot's license, I would think you would be ideal to be, you know, air traffic controller if that was
some,
a career.
I mean, it definitely, I think, enhances them. I know the ones that are pilots, I think we get a better level of service out of them than the ones that aren't.
Yeah. You can pretty much tell when you hear them, can't you? Especially when they're in training.
Yep.
I remember a story that I had on my first solo. Remember that? My second solo. But the air traffic controller was in training as well.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless her. I know she meant well, but she was kind of in over her head, as well as I was, correct?
Should we let her in on the secret?
Yeah, what's the secret?
Yeah.
What?
We paid her off.
You paid her off to do that?
No.
No, she. I,
no, because she put me in worse situations.
Yeah.
Before and after that.
So
still does.
Had you seen her on the corner panhandling 2 weeks prior?
Nope.
Because, you know, time-wise, that would work out about...
But I do know that she was on her last rope. She could have been if she didn't make it here, because she'd already failed in two other jobs in the ATC environment.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know that our government's looking out for our public safety in that sense. Yeah, you know, this story is just starting to hit the airwaves now, and it looks like it could be a fairly big scandal. I don't know. But hopefully they'll resolve it once the attention really does kick in, and maybe they're already making some adjustments, I would hope. But, you know, look, you always want to bring in more people and make things more diverse. That's fine. But you just don't want to penalize the people that obviously might be better candidates and making things safer and easier to manage for us pilots, too. What do you think?
Yeah, I would think.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I didn't play golf today. I took a flying lesson.
And how was that?
Uneventful.
So what do you want to do? Fly alone in your little plane?
No. The whole point is to find something we can do together.
What are you waiting for? Spread your wings and soar.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Ed and Keith, and Dennis rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. So the FAA looking out for us. Well, maybe their workforce more than us. We'll see where that story goes. But in other ways, they're doing good work. Dennis came across a story that sounds like they've used some common sense. Is that right, Dennis?
Oh, heaven forbid.
Common sense and the FAA in the same sentence. I'm not so sure.
Well, you know, we hit them below the belt at first, and then we let them come back and try to redeem
themselves.
It's not
going to
get
case.
You your certificate any sooner.
Oh, come on. I can try.
That takes work on your part.
Or brown nosing, which is...
Nope.
That was my best attempt. But anyway, so what is it? What's going on?
So, as you know, Basic Med has been out now for just over or almost a year.
Right. Huge
success. We've had Basic Med. And one of the limitations of Basic Med was that you couldn't fly an airplane with more than six seats. Well, there's a great airplane out in the fleet that is a six-seater, but actually, if you look at the type certificate, it actually says seven. But nobody ever put the seventh seat in these. And that's some of the bigger Pipers, the Saratogas, the Lances, the Cherokee Sixes. The FAA has approved an STC that will allow you to reduce the seating capacity to officially be six and now fly those legally under basic med.
That's good.
That is good. But wait, a Piper Saratoga can be a seven-seater?
Yeah, they,
yep,
put a,
they could
a
put
seat
three seats.
Oh, okay. So, because it's so wide in the butt end of the airplane?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so so they've said, okay, it's a seven-seater as listed, but we're going to assume they got two fat asses in the back of your airplane, and we'll let you go.
Actually, they're just going to take out, you know, you can legally remove it, or even if you never had it installed, it still said it was a seven-seat airplane and didn't qualify. But now with the STC, you're saying it is no longer a seven-seat plane, and
so
now
it's basically
legally fly
paperwork.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I was a little concerned because that's what our buddy Clay has.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think he's flying it under basic med anyway.
But he could if he wanted to now.
Yeah. Well, that, now he knows.
Cool.
Yeah. I'll make sure he gets that piece of information. All right. So we got that. Then the other big news that's happened in the last week or so is Cessna's, what can we say they have bowed out of the training division kind of thing, or
no? What would you say? There's one article out there that's saying that,
right?
Because they've dropped the diesel powered version of the airplane, what they call the Skyhawk JTA,
right?
And what was kind of surprising about it is there wasn't a whole lot of notice to it. It was just, whoop, we're done. And you read some information that came out from Continental, which is the producer of or the manufacturer of that engine. They were kind of surprised, too. They kind of found out about it when the rest of the industry found out about it. So there wasn't a whole lot of notice. Wasn't a whole lot of reasoning why people are making a lot of assumption. It's that it's not selling, and it was, but it wasn't. So part of that's what going on. But there are a couple other things else going out there, and I think it really comes down to they never recertified the airplane with the new engine on it. Mm-hmm. So it's an STC. And their extra liability that they don't want to assume, and so you can still get the airplane with a diesel engine on it. You just have to take it from Kansas to Alabama, take it to Continental, let Continental put the diesel engine on it. One more step in the process that was already being done basically by Cessna for you, but now you have to go to Continental directly.
Hmm. And you think it's more liability cost, and they just didn't really see enough demand to manage it on their own.
Yeah, I think it. I think they saw it as, well, you know, it's not an engine. It's not. They didn't go through the certification process to make it the standard engine, so thus it has to be an STC engine, and so that just brings in additional liability that should be Continental's in their mind. And but by having them done at the factory, sold that way, they're assuming some of the liability, so they're just trying to minimize their liability.
Mm. So time will tell whether Continental is going to be okay with this, or they're going to.
Oh, Continental's like, hey, we're still doing it. Just, you know, we'll. They give a fair trade in for the engine that they're pulling off,
yeah,
and they'll make it happen. I don't think they've been selling as well as Cessna had hoped them to, and they're not selling overseas as well as they'd hoped they would. Mm-hmm. And so, whereas, you know, we're very interested in the technology, we think it is the direction that the industry needs to go with engines. Continental is clearly making strides. They've gotten it upgraded from a 1500 hour engine to a 2100 hour engine, and they hope to get it even higher.
Well, we kind of thought this was going to be the bridge over to hybrid and electric. Do you think it's just going to get kind of run over, maybe, because the technology is advancing too much in that arena?
I doubt it. I don't think we're, you know, light sport airplanes are going to be moving towards electric, but I think you're still going to run into issues with the larger, higher performance airplanes. They're going to need to stay with some type of fossil fuel.
Yeah, but you still have the problem right now with getting that Jet A into like a GA airport, right?
Isn't that not really.
Not,
I mean, there,
it's there.
It's very, very prevalent.
Yeah, so you can get prevalent. It now. It's just a matter of, you know, finding the proper equipment. And if you had one of those airplanes, though, it would be much cheaper to operate, wouldn't it?
No, at this point, not yet.
Because
the price... TBR needs to go up to 3,000 or 4,000 hours to make it less expensive than the piston engine to operate.
Okay.
And fuel prices have to go back up. And that's where about four years ago, when fuel prices were extremely high, it was starting to make financial sense. And a lot of people started moving towards the diesel engines because that's what it is over in Europe. That's what it's in many countries around the world. The avgas fuel prices are so high that jet fuel is so much less expensive that it makes sense to have a diesel airplane.
But now we have the opposite situation going on.
Prices are going back up on fuel.
Numbers got to make sense. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.